Now today, I want to continue a little bit. I'm not sure, last week you all have a Holy Communion, right? So all of you heard Pastor Seng Yen talk about family. He briefly mentioned about singleness. So I want to talk about what it means to be single, alright? Now, in the Bible, sometimes when we think about singleness, we think that, oh, this is only for young people like you, who kena friend zoned by somebody, then, or your BFF, whatever, you know. So, you thought, oh, then I'm doomed to singleness. But actually, there are many different kind of stages in life where you might end up as a single person. For example, I know of people who, because they are so busy looking after their parents, right, that they don't really have time to socialize. And as a result, after so many years, they are still single. There are also some people who are single because they are unable to find a suitable partner, very picky type lah. This one too short lah, they're too tall lah, they're too blur lah, you know, all kind of thing. You know, you pick, okay, you're too picky. There are people who become single because the husband or the wife died, right? So suddenly you become single again in your life. Or, you know, sadly in our society, people become single because of separation or divorce in the family, right? So obviously singleness is something that happens in many stages of life, not just when you're young. Now, what is this whole singleness really about, okay? In Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, you know, this is during the time of creation. God has created all these different things, right? And then God said, it is not good. Everyone say not good. It is not good that man should be alone. Now you know that when God created the universe, right? He said it was good. Everything he said, after one day, he said, oh, it's good or it is very good. And he went this way. But here's the first time he said, it is not good. It is not good that man and woman should be alone. At that point of time, there's no woman. That's why you say man, right? It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him. You know, in my time, as a pastor, I've heard many, many sermons about people talking about singleness. And very often, they will try and console the single people, something like this. They say, it's okay to be single. You have Jesus, what? Right? Jesus is enough. Okay? So I think it sounds very biased. So I thought, yeah, that's right. By right, Jesus is enough. Why should I feel so sad about being single? Right? But you think about this. At the time of creation, Adam had God, right? I mean, he had the animals. And you know, dog's the best man's best friend, right? So he had all the animals. And then he had God. Why then does God say it is not good for men to be alone? Shouldn't God say, well, you have me, you have everything already? I think when we say things like that, it probably stems from a failure to understand you yourself. Right? The design that God makes us. When God makes all of us, we have some natural requirement. For example, you get hungry, right? By now, maybe you're getting hungry, right? You get cold. So all these things are normal things. They're not good or bad. They're just part of your design. In the same way, we have a certain built-in need to not be alone. Or, I'll put it this way, for intimacy. Just like you get hungry, you have certain need for intimacy. This is not right or wrong, okay? Last time when I was growing up, sometimes I get a feeling that, oh, it's very guilty. I feel very bad, because, oh yeah, I feel so lonely, Then my friend say, wow, you are so unspiritual. You're thinking about girls all the time, Then what think about boys, you know? Cannot be, right? So, it's almost as if something is wrong with me because I have this need. But if you look in the Bible carefully, actually, it's very normal that all of us have this need, right? All of us have this longing to find some kind of intimate, meaningful connection with somebody. And of course, after this incident, God said, you know, God put Adam to sleep, right? And in fact, let me just read the rest of it. It says, verse 20, Genesis chapter 2, it's not on the screen, but I'll read it to you. It says, so Adam gave, So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. Okay, this is Adam's first job, is to name all the animals. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Okay, a helper that's comparable to him. Now, who is this helper supposed to be? People say it's woman, right? But how is this helper? You know, when God created creation, that's a certain order. He begin with the heavens, the earth, and then it starts with all those vegetation, right? And then animals. You can see it's progressing in terms of importance. Then he created man. That was the last thing he created. Woman, right? So, in some people say, there, you see, woman is more important than man, because, you know, in the order of priority. No, okay, I'm not a feminist, But I would say that at least woman and man is on the same level. In other words, woman is not on the level of animals. Okay? Now, you must know that historically, women have not have a very high regard. Many of the Jews have a prayer that goes something like that, you know. God, I thank you that I'm not a dog or a woman. You know, something like this. So, but if you understand the Bible carefully, woman actually has a very high place. This high place, the Bible calls a comparable helper. What does that mean? Now, like I said, there are many animals around Adam, right? And I don't know whether you have a dog or not. A dog is a very nice animal. I like dogs, unless they're crazy. But I generally like dogs. I have crazy dogs before. I had a Jack Terrier one time. It was totally like on steroids, you know. I threw a tennis ball. The tennis ball bounced against the wall. The dog also bounced against the wall. Bam, okay. It's totally crazy. It's bang until my neighbor cannot take it anymore. We had to give it away, right? Okay, so... But dogs generally, when you come home, they welcome you. Not like cats. Cats, like, you know, when they need you, they come to you, okay? Like some of our friends. But, you know, dogs... Did I say something wrong? Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you. Okay, never mind. Now, why is it that Adam cannot have a meaningful relationship with a dog, for example? Because it's not comparable. Okay, it's not comparable and it is not matching. It's not compatible. In other words, we are designed to relate with someone at our level in such a way that we are able to really have a profound relationship. Now, you can have some kind of relationship with a dog, sayang, sayang, maybe jump over the place, but it's not a very profound relationship. You won't sit down to a dog and say, hey, dog, I'm going to tell you I have such a hard day at work. All the dogs, like that, right? I mean, the dog won't understand you. It doesn't have a capacity because it's not comparable. Okay, so we are designed for relationship, we are designed for intimacy, but not only that, we are also designed for intimacy with the right comparable kind of creation. That is why sometimes, you know, all this LGBT thing, I know they are looking for relationship, they are reaching out because they feel lonely, right? There's a certain need for intimacy, but sometimes they are looking in the wrong place. I mean, because it's not compatible, right? So, I mean, I'm not really wanting to talk about LGBT, but there's a certain sense in relation, in a creation that we are built with certain compatibility, right? I mean, you go to a, let's say you go to a petrol kiosk, you pump a petrol, right? You take out the petrol thing, you know where the petrol goes, right? You put in the exhaust pipe, you open the window and put petrol in. There's a certain design to the whole thing, correct? So in the same way humans are, we have certain emotional compatibility, right? You also know this because you know that among so many friends, there are some people who are your better friends. People that you can relate to more meaningfully, right? I mean, there are a lot of friendships here and there. But as you get older, you soon discover that your friends will get less and less. In fact, after a while, you feel quite sad because you used to have like many, many friends, suddenly left only four or five friends that you can really relate to. It's all because we are not just looking for relationship, we are looking for people that we can relate to meaningfully. Over time, those people that you cannot relate to meaningfully will naturally fall away by attrition. They'll just fall away because you are looking for something. Okay, so Genesis gives us a particular picture of God's design. Okay, the design is that we are designed for intimacy. So, Adam, in spite of the fact that he has so many opportunity to relate to the trees, the ground, everything, not compatible because he was designed to relate intimately at a particular level. Okay, so I want to talk about what this intimacy is about. There are four things I really want to mention. First of all, many people enter into relationship intimacy in order to validate their own self-worth. Okay, what do I mean by this? I know many young people, you know, as you're growing up, the crowd here, your friends, become your emotional support network, right? For many of us, when you're in trouble, I mean, I suppose a long time ago, maybe you run to your parents, your mother, or your father, right? But I think for a lot of us, our friends are your emotional support network. So, every time you have a problem, you look for your friend, right? And what does your friend do? Your friend will, sometimes your friend will tell you the hard truth, right? For example, say, aiya, you know, the girl dumped me lah. Then your friend might say, you deserve it wah. You know, you're so banging on or something like this, right? That's a hard pain to... But a lot of times your friend will just support you no matter what, right? No matter what. You know, I saw this skit about this guy who says, you know, his girlfriend scolding him, you know. How come you didn't text me in return, in reply, right?
So scold.
Then suddenly the friend come along. Then they tell me, hey, you know, what's this all about? You say, he lah, never text me. Then both of them, pakat na, they come together, provide emotional support to scold the other fella. Sometimes you do that, right? You just support your friends for no other reason than they are your friends. Now, because of this, many of us think that when we get a boyfriend or girlfriend, that is the ultimate support network. You look for this person to support you in every single thing. And you look for emotional validation. Because you many young people feel this way. I got no boyfriend. I got no girlfriend. Because I'm not worth it. Right? Because you know there's an advertisement say I'm worth it. Right? This one is I'm not worth it. That's why nobody want me. All my friends friend zone me. Right? So because of that, I think I'm less. Now listen. Intimacy doesn't say whether you're good or you're bad. Right? It doesn't say whether. In fact, relationship should not be used as a way to validate your worth. Your worth as a human being comes because God loves you. Your parents love you. God loves you. You have intrinsic worth. Regardless of what people think about you. Whether people think you're a nerd lah. Nowadays nerd is quite a good thing, okay? But it doesn't matter when people think you're a beng lah. Or you think people you're a lien. You know, it really doesn't matter. Because those relationships are not intended to be a measure of your self-worth, right? But many people don't understand this. Many people go into a relationship, they become dependent on the other person to affirm their self-worth. So when your boyfriend smiles at you, you feel like $1 million, right? Or when your girlfriend rejects you, you feel like, you know, the stuff in the toilet, right? I mean, you don't feel happy. And your feeling of your self-worth goes up and down, in relation to how this other person succeeds. This is very unhealthy. You know, I have heard so many stories about girls who like bad boys. And the bad boys are really bad. Abusive, scold them, treat them really in a rotten way. But you know what? The girls keep on clinging on to the guy. You know why? He's the last human being on earth. No! But many of them feel because, you know why? They become dependent on this person to affirm their self-worth. So they dare not let go. See, if I let go, then I will never have self-worth again. Now, all this, very unhealthy, okay? Relationship is not meant to affirm your self-worth. Whether someone reject you, dump you, and all that, it doesn't mean you're worth anything less. Okay? Maybe you can say, not compatible. That one, painful lah, but you have to accept it. You know, I got rejected many times before, I can tell you this. I've been there, I'm an expert in this. Alright? So, I think for many of us, we are afraid of rejection. Now, second thing, when you look for self-validation in your relationship, you do a lot of weird things. You set up tests for all your friends, you know. Let's say a guy says, can I get to know you better? Well, you set up tests, you know. Okay, I text you, I see how long you reply. Well, 15 minutes, you know. Because you know why? You're afraid that these people don't somehow meet your standard, you see. Because you've been rejected so many times, you're afraid of pain. You set up all these weird tests, you know. Even in marriage relationship, sometimes we know that we ask, for example, my wife will sometimes ask me, don't tell her, but she sometimes asks me things, she put on a dress, you know. She put on, buy a new dress, buy from Zalora or something, right? And then she say, do I look nice in this dress, Then, of course, the answer is yes, lah, you know. I mean, you don't have to die yet, right? So yes, they say, no, how can it be yes? Every time also you say yes, you know. I ask you 20 times, don't you have a more? Because, you know, this answer yes is the one that keeps you alive, right? If I say no, then you get upset, you know. Yeah, I'm so fat already. I knew it, I'm so fat already. Why you never pray for me that I lose weight, you know, all this kind of thing. Okay. Shh, don't tell her, okay. So, now, invariably as human being, we sometimes look to other human beings for emotional validation, as indirectly or directly as well. But listen, some things you can only get from God. And you look for this in human being, this is going to leave you in a very dysfunctional relationship. It will cause you to lose your perspective, you know. Because if this is what you're looking for, then, okay, if my wife, okay, I don't know why today I say so much of her, but got a lot of story from her. Now, I was working on a ship, right? On the ship. So she was seasick all the time, so I had to do a double shift her work, alright? So while I was working in the engine room at the bottom of the ship, she was lying down on the deck of the ship, throwing up. Okay? And because she threw up so much, she felt very hungry. So one day I go up to the deck, and you know, after throwing up, she's lying there. She said, I see flying chicken. Flying fried chicken. I said, what? I see flying fried chicken. They're flying there. Then I look, in the water, there are flying fish, you see. Right? I think she must be very hungry. So because she's very hungry, she sees what she wants to see, which is probably fried chicken at that point of time, right? Now, when you are desperate for something, every human being you see is going to fit that thing that you're desperate. If you are very hungry, every human being will look like a rice pot, right? If you are very poor, everyone will look like an ATM machine to you. When you look at this person, the question in your mind is, does this person have enough money? You know what I mean? Now, if you are looking for emotional validation, you're going to try to squeeze every potential relationship into that mold, which is very unhealthy. Very unhealthy. You will be very unhappy. Okay? So that's the first thing. Do not try and look for emotional validation in your relationship. Otherwise, you'll be very disappointed. Alright? You build walls, you do some weird stuff. And I guess part of the reason why we tend to do this is because of the over-romanticization of romanticization. You know what I'm talking about. Over-romantic, K-drama, K-drama, because of K-drama, of relationships. You see, all these movies that you grew up watching, right, give you this idea that relationship, you know how it's like, the first time you meet, suddenly everything slow motion. Wow, turn the hair, also fly like that, you know. Then the eye, do, right? Then the music come up. This is not real life. Okay? Real life doesn't work like this. Most of the time anyway, right? Most of the time, this is just movies. Now, when we elevate our relationship to these places that it cannot do, you will feel disappointed. Second thing I want to say, okay? I'll try to make this quick. Many people will extol the virtues of married life, okay? Now, I can see that most of you are not married, young people, right? What marriage is? Marriage is a symbol. It is a symbol of intimacy, right? When God created Adam and Eve, God basically put Adam to sleep, took a rib out, right? And then make woman out of man. And then God says what? This is the reason why the two will cleave together and become one flesh. So, you can see in marriage, there's a picture of not just emotional intimacy, but also physical intimacy. That said, marriages are rarely perfect. Those of you who are at home, you can look at your parents. You know that most of the time, marriages are not like fairy tales, right? And when we over-elevate marriage as a ultimate, it makes it as if that the only purpose in life is to get married. Listen, there are many things about marriage that you don't know and they're not telling you. Because they're afraid that they tell you young people you never want to get married, okay? For example, you think, wow, get married, we will have this fantastic, happy after, until you have kids, Once you have kids, that's it, finish, your life is over, right? You know, right, you did that to your parents, okay? So, many people, they think, oh, if only I can get married, all my problems will be solved. Little do you know, most marriages don't start the way you see it. It takes a long time, a long process, a lot of effort, right? But in many marriages, there's also a lack of intimacy. You know, just because you're married, doesn't automatically mean you are intimate, okay? Doesn't mean automatically that, I don't know you watch the show Pacific Rim or not. You see Pacific Rim? At Pacific Rim, the Jaeger Project, two people connect their brain, suddenly you know what the other person thinks. Which I don't know why. Are you hurt? I thought they're connected together, okay? Don't ask too many questions, right? But marriage is not this, it's not the Jaeger Project, come in suddenly, No! The reason why marriage succeeds is because it involves commitment. And commitments create for people a covenantal, safe space for you to be yourself. As well as knowing that the other person cannot escape. Right? See, when you're dating, right? You will spend 2-3 hours while dressing up. Just get that one hair, snip, eyebrow also do, Everything, put makeup nicely, dress everything nicely. Several hours to go out so that you can make a good impression, right? But after you're married, it's very different. You wake up in the morning, no makeup, not like TV. See Wonder Woman, wake up only somehow perfect makeup. That's part of the wonder, But in marriage, life is not like this. You wake up, you're like, you watch these makeup videos on YouTube or Facebook. That is horrible, right? You look at it, wow, looks so nice. When they take out the thing, oh my goodness, is that really a human being? That's what marriage is. After you date, you come back, you so look like, you wake up, you realize that, too late, cannot escape already, right? And that is part of what makes it safe for us to grow. Because now, you know that you're accepted for who you are. Rather than trying to impress people for who they're not. That's why marriage is important. But, marriage is not the highest goal in life. What do I mean by that? Now, there's this thing called the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right? At the bottom of the hierarchy, you have simple things like food, clothing, water, you know, roof over your house, your head, right? Now, when you don't have those things will appear very important to you. Okay? For example, if you are starving now, nothing, you won't be thinking, I'm starving now, but that, you know, that, Ace, looks very cute, that girl. I wonder if we can meet her when she comes to Singapore. You won't think, you're starving now, you're thinking about food, you're thinking of fried chicken, right? You're thinking about whatever it is that you want to eat. Let's say, now you're freezing in the cold, right? There's no roof over your head, you barely have any clothes, and it's freezing and snowing. Actually, I feel it's very cold now. It's because I'm running a temperature now, right? Anyway, so, at that point of time, you wouldn't be thinking, wow, what would I dress up for my next date? You won't be thinking of that. Because whatever is in front of you will suddenly have this trick. It tricks your mind into thinking it is the most important thing, right? But let's suppose you had your good food, you got your clothes, you had your drink, everything already. Then you go to the next level, right? You upgrade to the next level, right? And then over this level, suddenly new things become very important to you. Suddenly you start to think, hey, do I have friends or not? And so on and so forth. Finally, you get to a level where your need for intimacy becomes the current thing. When you are, which is most of you, when you are at that stage, it will appear to you, your mind will trick you as if this is the most important thing. Right? But actually it's not. Just like food and water, yeah, there are a lot of other more important things. But at that point of time, your focus is on. I'm saying to you that, you know, relationship and all these are very important. But you must know, right, that there are more important things beyond marriage. Okay? And, okay, so, that's a second thing I want to say. Third thing I want to say is, being a Christian does not automatically provide an answer to your needs for intimacy. I had a friend last time who, she was very, I guess very pious, go to all the prayer meeting and all that, you know? And she was also at the same time worried that she was getting a bit older and didn't have a boyfriend, right? So she prayed to God, God, please reveal to me who my future husband will be, okay? Now, first of all, this kind of prayer is quite dangerous, lah. You know? But I think it's okay to pray, right? But as she prayed, she got a picture. And the thing is that she went to the guy and told the guy, God told you me that you are supposed to marry me. Okay? That might have been the case before she said it. But after she said it, the guy ran, you know? Right? So, I don't know whether it's God's will or not, but probably it wasn't the wisest thing to do, alright? But for many of us, you know, when we think about this relationship, we feel like, oh, now a Christian, God will automatically provide for... Listen, if you are a Christian, will God automatically give you a job? Not necessarily. Will God automatically provide you with food? Not necessarily. You have to work for it, right? Will God automatically provide you with health? Not necessarily. You have to take care of your health. I mean, you eat badly, you have an unhealthy lifestyle, you still get sick, right? So in the same way, when it comes to relationship, God does not automatically provide this for you. In Genesis chapter 24, Abraham was an old man. His wife Sarah had died already. His son Isaac was still single. So he got a bit worried because, you know, if his son don't get married, he don't have heirs. See? So those days, this thing is very important. So he decided to call the servant of the house. He says, listen, I want you to promise me something, okay? And if you read Genesis 24, the way they promise is very funny, okay? Nowadays, you promise, you know, cross your heart lah, you know, scout's honor lah, pinky, you know, I mean, what else do you have? To promise? No, this one is not promise. You do all the kind of thing, right? Those days, he said, put your hand under my thigh, okay? It's kind of weird for us, but you know, that's how they did it, okay? So the servant put his hand under his thigh. I suppose he was sitting down on his hand then, kind of warm, but then the guy says, I want you to swear to me, okay? First, swear to me that you will not take a wife for Isaac from among the Canaanites. Listen, there were many, many women around, okay? Canaanite women. But Abraham was not just thinking, now this is important, Abraham is very concerned about this providing a right partner for Isaac. But that was not his highest consideration. His highest consideration was, I must be loyal to God. I must put God first. That's why he says, don't take anyone from the Canaanite woman. In fact, I want you to go back to my land, which is Haran, in the way up in the north, okay? And I want you to go there and find a wife for Isaac, okay? So the servant must go, he pack up everything, he goes up, and then along the way he's thinking to himself, how do I know who is the right one? Okay, this is a very tough question, right, for all of us. How do I know this is the right guy? How do I know that's the right guy? Well, this servant was also thinking all the way up, he's thinking, how do I know it's the right guy? He prayed to God, okay, God, this is very tricky. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask all these women to give me a drink. He must have a big bladder, all right? So, all drink. If any one of them offer me a drink, and then offer to feed my camels water also, water the camels, right? Water the camel is not like camel or pour water on you, huh? It means feed the camels with water. Then that must be the one, okay? So he has a sort of litmus test there. So he goes out there, and Rebecca comes out. The Bible says Rebecca was very beautiful. He probably felt quite good, lah. Because imagine, you come back with not so beautiful one. Then Abraham asks, what's wrong with you? Wear spectacles or not? Okay, never mind. So Rebecca was very beautiful, come out. He probably thought, okay. So he asked Rebecca, can you give me a drink, right? Now he's a stranger, okay? Rebecca doesn't know him from Adam, right? So he gives him a drink, and then Rebecca says, please have a drink. After you drink, I will also water your camels, huh? Not that water, feed your camels water. And he was thinking to himself, yes, this is the one, right? And he also a bit too much. Immediately he take gold nose ring and bracelet and gave to her. I think she must be a bit freaked out, because you just feel, give some water, suddenly they, what's gold nose ring? Nose ring? Like the kind you put on bulls, right? I don't know whether it make her wear it. Please not wear this. Yeah, I got you now. No escape. So, now I guess Rebecca must have suspected that maybe he's one of those, matchmaker, headhunter type of people, right? So after that he asked, can I stay at your house? Mainly to talk to your parents. So they go back, they talk to the parents, and the parents agreed. Probably because Abraham was a very rich man. He had a lot of gold, okay? So the servant came with a lot of gold. So they agreed. So next day when the servant wanted to go home, suddenly the parents changed their mind. They said, maybe you don't have to go so fast. Maybe you can stay on a bit longer, stay with us. Maybe get your son to come. No, Abraham was very specific. Isaac will not go there because the promise of God is here, right? Don't go back to my home. I left the home because God asked me to leave the home. Okay, so they tried to make excuse. Finally, they said, okay. We ask Rebecca. If Rebecca says yes, then you can go. And sure enough, Rebecca says yes. They travel all the way down. The Bible says that as they were going, approaching the place, Isaac was coming back from a place called Beer Laharoi. Okay, it's not a kind of beer, it's just a place, right? So he was coming back and far away from meditating in the field. Okay, so I don't know what he's meditating about. He's probably thinking, I wonder what kind of wife my dad would get me, or something like that kind of meditation. Okay, he was coming back from contemplating. Then from far away, they saw each other. They saw each other. Okay, but it's from far away. All he saw was a camel, the caravan. Okay. So Rebecca saw him and asked the servant, who is that? That's the guy lah. That's the guy you're supposed to marry. She immediately covered her face with a veil and okay, so on and so forth. Can you see that this relationship takes a lot of effort? Even arranged marriage takes a lot of effort. Now today, we highly romanticize marriage, but this whole romanticization of relationships, it's a very new thing. My grandparents, they didn't have this kind of patol thing, The parents just go and choose, and on the wedding day, you open the veil, you hope that it's good, right? Right. That's how it used to work, right? And my grandmother married my grandfather because this was during the Japanese occupation. If you didn't get married, very high chance that you might get pulled off and raped, okay? So they just got married, but they worked it out. So even within that relationship, takes a lot of effort. It's not automatic, right? But within this relationship, you notice Abraham put God first. Yes, he pursued his need, but he put God first. There's another man in the book of Judges chapter 14. His name is Samson. Some of you may know him, right? This strong man. Now Samson also was a single guy. Judges chapter 14 verse 1 and 2 tells us that, because he was single, he was kind of on the lookout, right? And the Bible says that he saw among the, in Timnah. Timnah is south of Israel, right? There's this place, and he saw among the daughters of the Philistines. Now, Philistines will be those people that they're not supposed to marry, right? He saw someone that caught his eye, like Baywatch like that, right? I don't know if you saw the really lousy show, right? This Baywatch, right? And he saw, then he's stunned, he's thinking, wow, I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughters of Philistines. And then he told the parents, now, go get her for me as a wife. Okay, those days you have to understand, parents arrange all these kind of things. You don't just go out and do it yourself, okay? So, the reason why he wanted this woman The Bible says it's because he said, because she brings pleasure to me. It means very superficial. All he sees looks. Now listen, you and I know, looks don't last very long. Correct? Looks also can fake. Right? Especially with makeup nowadays. It's unbelievable what you can fake, right? And definitely don't trust Facebook looks. Almost all of them are fake. Especially selfie profiles, right? You know, my daughter's got this stuff. At first I was wondering, why are all these people, their eyes so big? Then I realized this is some software. All the software made them look like frogs. Their eyes so big. Okay, maybe you use this kind of thing. You know, Meitu. You know what's Meitu? You all know. Yeah, of course you know, right? You all use it, right? So, in relationship, you cannot be looking superficially. You can pursue, but have some sense to pursue things that are deeper, right? So anyways, Samson, he didn't consider God at all. Whereas for Abraham, he considered God. Both of them are pursuing a legitimate need. One of them failed to consider God. One of them managed to consider God. Okay? So, I don't know where I'm, number 1.3. Okay, ultimately, what we are looking for, this number 4, what we are looking for is not just superficiality in our relationship. You know, we can have superficial relationship. Most of the time, superficial relationship will take up energy, but they leave you feeling kind of empty, disappointed, right? What we are really longing for is a deep relationship, meaningful relationships. Now, that leads me to a question that we ask, okay? Is it possible to have this kind of intimacy that fills our loneliness as a single person? Is it possible or not? Well, the answer is yes. In John chapter 17, Jesus was praying, right? Jesus was praying, Father, make them one. You see, this one is the same as the one flesh of the Bible talk about. There's a certain intimacy. Now, not necessarily physical intimacy, but there is a certain kind of intimacy. So make them one just as we are one. Now, in other words, it is entirely possible for people, normal people, not to get into romantic relationships, but still have very meaningful relationship. And some of you thinking, yeah lah, that's what BFF is. Okay, no, I'm not just talking about that. But I mean really good, meaningful relationships, okay? I want to say a couple of things in this regard. I think part of the reason why a lot of people don't do this, okay, is because they have unhealthy self-esteem. I mentioned, many of us, we grew up in a kind of situation where sometimes we have a doubt about our self-worth. All of you especially are in a stage of life where you are learning to ride the bicycle without the training wheels. You know what's a training wheel? Right? You ride bicycle, and I think most of you know how to ride bicycle. Anyone here don't know how to ride bicycle? Okay, a couple of people, right? But you can imagine, go home that time, look for one of those old four things, jump on it, give it a try, okay? So, when you're starting out, you have these training wheels, right? And you're trying to figure, can you ride a bicycle without... It's supposed to be bicycle, not quad cycle, right? So definitely you won't get rid of two wheels. So, but during the stage of letting go, you are wondering, can I do it? Can I do it? Most of you are at that stage in life. You're wondering. And sometimes we dare not let go. We dare not let go of the training wheels, or you cling to somebody, you know? Right? If you ever help your friend to learn to ride a bicycle, sometimes they can have killer grip. They hold your hand, they don't let go. Let go, you're supposed to ride by yourself. They cling on you. Might as well you just hold them around, right? Many of you relationally are going through all these things, right? So, I just want to encourage you to recognize that, first of all, it's normal. It's normal to have a yearning and longing for a deep relationship. Second of all, you can have deep relationship of many types, right? I mean, it's not just let's say Jacob and Leah or Rachel, right? That took a lot of effort. But it's also sometimes to do with finding the right kind. David and Jonathan, they were really good friends. And I suppose they can share a lot of things. And that's important. In your stage in life now, you should not be trying to go for the final answer. Because most of the time you don't know yourself yet, right? Imagine you're trying to buy a car. You won't go into a showroom and buy the first car that you see, right? You first, this one got four wheels, Okay, I buy it already. I mean, surely it got steering wheel, okay, five wheels, okay. So, that's not how you buy a car. When you kind of think, okay, I need, do I have two-seater or four-seater, what kind of car do I need, am I using this car for off-road, you know, driving, or is it for road? You think of all these things. When you're starting out, you don't know yourself. So you don't know exactly what is going to be compatible with you. In your stage in life, you're supposed to have many relationships, you know. I don't mean like many girlfriend, boyfriend, huh? But I mean many meaningful relationships. I suppose you can say platonic, but you know, very hard to say these kind of things, right? Have good, meaningful engagement without necessarily committing. Listen, boyfriend and girlfriend is not the same as being married. Okay, I know some people, they like to call, you know, their phone, they put their boyfriend, 老公, you think, I don't know, right? Listen, you're not married yet, lah. You can be married one day, but at that point, you have certain freedom as a single person. As a single person, you have freedom to go out with anybody you want. If you are married already, you try that and see what happens, right? Won't be married for very long, right? So for all of us, sometimes I think we need to step back a little bit from the urgency of the immediate search for our intimacy. Rather, you step back and you ask yourself, you know, in this season of life, how can you get to know yourself better? How can you resolve some of your own self-esteem issues? Many people, they bring their own baggage into a relationship. It doesn't help. Always will result in trouble, right? And then you make many friends. Then you start to know what you really want, okay? So in closing, there are five takeaways that I want to really kind of end with here. First of all, invest in relationship. Relationships take quite a lot of effort, to be honest. Yeah, sometimes I'm a bit of an antisocial sort of guy, you know. I mean, I have a few friends, right? I just need a few very good friends. I don't need a lot of friends, okay? I need a few very good friends, people that I can really talk to. And, you know, we all have different needs in that regard. So, you need some people that you invested your relationship in. You will soon discover, the moment you finish school, your friends will dwindle very fast. By the time you get to working life, you only have a small handful of friends. Treasure those friends. Invest in those relationships, alright, all around. Jacob, you know, spent 21 years to basically 14 years, then he worked 7 more years for Rachel, right? So, put effort. Secondly, build a healthy self-esteem before jumping into a relationship, right? Don't jump into a relationship if you don't know who you are. I know the need is there. The need makes you feel, I can't wait for it. And you know, the first time the guy or the girl look at you that way, wow, you melt like the next 3 days you're a zombie already, can't think already, you know, left or right also don't know. Because you never had a guy look at you, because suddenly you feel so special. Listen, you're already special. You just don't know it, right? That person smile at you that way doesn't make you special. It makes you blur, but not special, okay? So, some of us, because it's such an intense thing, it's like a drug. You want more, you know, okay? So, first of all, invest in relationship. Second, work on your self-esteem, right? Know that you are loved by God. Amen? You are very precious. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are very precious. Yeah, meaningfully, with emotion, right? You are really special, right? You are very special. Okay, lah. So, you know. Third of all, you will not be single forever, most of you, right? Most of you will not be single forever. So, enjoy your freedom while you are single, right? Because after you're married, this ring is very easy to put on, very hard to take off. Okay? So after you are married, your scope will be very narrow. Now, in the Bible, actually, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you see Paul write something like this. He say, it is better for a person to remain unmarried. Okay? Why does he say something like this? Didn't God say it's not good for man to be alone? So why does Paul say that? Well, the reason why Paul says it is good to be unmarried, and I don't mean like Peter, but, you know, it's because, Pastor Peter, I mean, it's because he was writing, okay, first of all, whole of chapter 7 was his considered pastoral advice. Several times he said, this is not a commandment, this is my opinion, something like this, okay, you can read through that. There's one place where he says, this is a commandment, he says, that is, you know, you must not divorce, okay, but beyond that he says other things. Okay, so this considered pastoral opinion and advice for him is, he says that it's good for a man not to touch a woman, right? Now, many scholars feel, I'm not sure, but we feel that maybe Paul might have been married before. Otherwise, why he seems to have a lot of things to say about married people, right? So maybe he was married before. And so he writes, he says, the reason why it is good for a man not to touch a woman, or a man not to have physical intimacy with a woman, or some translation, for a man not to get married, okay? It's because in verse 25 he says, I suppose therefore this is good because of the present distress. They were living in times of persecution. And in Paul's mind, you know, I'm trying to spare you all the headache that comes with marriage. But marriage have headache, on. So, single have single headache, marriage got double headache, alright? So, he's saying that in view of all these pressing needs, you shouldn't make too big a deal out of marriage. If you really want to get married, go ahead, it's not a sin, right? But if I were you, I'd probably not invest too much time in that. That's what Paul is saying, right? He's not saying that we must all be single. Actually, in verse 29, he says this, but I say this, brethren, the time is short. Paul thought that Jesus is coming back next week, okay? So, from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Okay, so you understand, Paul is not saying generally that we should all be single. I don't think he's putting down the importance of relationship and intimacy. Rather, he's saying that there are other priorities in life. Okay, so enjoy your freedom while you're single. The grass always looks greener on the other side. But more often than not, when you get to the other side, you find that it's the same shade of green. Actually, suddenly, the grass become greener on this side. Okay? It's like me, when I'm driving, no matter which lane I go into, that lane will slow down. So I have a lot of, this is a superpower, right? I can single-handedly slow down any lane of traffic I want to. Get into that lane, slow down. Everyone go faster now. If I switch lane, okay. It feels like this, you know. No matter what you do, it's always nicer the other place. Fourth of all, don't rush into tying the knot. Okay? Don't rush into commitment. It's a very good thing, a very honorable thing, but don't rush into it. You only get one shot at this. So, might as well make it count, right? And last of all, put God at the center of your pursuit. Right? It's normal. We all have our pursuit. But, don't be like Samson. Be like Abraham. Put God in the center of your pursuit. It doesn't guarantee that you will come away with somebody, but I think if you put God at the center of the pursuit, it helps a lot of things. Okay? So in conclusion, you know, we spend billions, the humankind spends billions and billions of dollars sending men to the moon, sending men to Mars, and sending satellites and spaceships to, you know, Jupiter, to Saturn, to all the far reaches of the galaxy. Why do you think we are doing that? I suspect one of the reasons is because we have this existential need to know, are we really alone? Because that's part of our human nature. We want to reach out, grope around in the darkness of space, hoping that you may discover, oh, there's someone that we can connect to, there's someone that we can perhaps relate to out there. This is human nature, right? All of you are the same way. Sometimes consciously, sometimes not so consciously. But I don't mean like fainted, right? You subconsciously, you're reaching out. I'm telling you this thing so that you will know, so that you can have healthier relationships. Amen? Right? Don't become dependent on people. And trust me, I only say this because, like I said, I fail many, many times in relationship, right? And, you know, when you get rejected, the feeling is like a punch to the gut. Right, the air all come off you, and it's like, I don't want to eat already. You know, you become like floating down, right? No bones already. Then now I realize, actually it's not the end of the world. Why did it become the end of the world for me? Mainly because at that point in time, to me, relationship was everything. It is very important. It has amazing rewards. I wish and pray that every one of you will find a comparable helper. But you're not going to do that if you don't understand some basic principle about life. Okay? Shall we close our eyes? And I don't know how many of you find yourself in that situation. Some of you are too young. You're still in the, you know, Lego, kind of play Lego, or play Play-Doh kind of stage. When we are young, we are changing a lot. When I was in primary 5, they told me that, oh, that girl and you are good boyfriend, girlfriend. I don't want any girls. I got a sec 1, sec 2, suddenly it's like, change tune already, right? Boyfriend, girlfriend, yeah, that sounds quite good. So, you are going through this change. I pray that God will give you a stability in your heart. Stability, so that you not be blown to and fro by every wind and wave. So that you are able to keep your focus on God. Keep your priorities right. So that God will give you a revelation of yourself. Before you can know other people, you got to know yourself a lot more. So I pray, Lord, that for all these young people here, that they will find their self-worth in you. They will understand the amazing value you have placed on every one of their heads. That they do not need anybody to affirm their worth or their value. I pray, God, that you bless them so that they will have the opportunity to meet with good friends, deep relationships in their lives, people who will be friends for a lifetime, not just for a short time. I pray, Lord, that they will indeed maybe even find and have the privilege of meeting the right counterpart, whether it's a boyfriend or girlfriend, a spouse eventually. I pray, Lord, that they will approach these things not simply from the point of view of their own desperation, but from a point of view of your design. So I commit all of them to you. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen. We want to stand together, sing some closing song. Or Pastor Peter want to say something because he's single. So
I want to say that marriage is a good thing. Am I right?
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. You know, I thought about it in a very practical way. Actually, if not for marriage, we will not be here. And you know that when God created man, I mean, God definitely has the ability to create the human race through many means, right? Maybe through factory production or what. But he chose, right, one man and one woman to be the ones to reproduce. And that's how we have the human race. So I really believe that for all other things, say, even if you think about it practically, marriage is a good thing. But here's a tip I want to give to you, whether you are single, you are married, you are thinking about getting married, you know, etc. As a single man of 35 years, there are definitely times that I feel lonely. But what really helps me to learn how to be contented as a single, or what I believe can help the married people to be contented as a married person, is you always adopt a mindset of giving. Right? If you go into a relationship, just one thing to take, or if you are a single person but you are looking at your potential partner just wanting to take, I can assure you that you will not find happiness. So as a single person, God really has helped me to overcome loneliness by helping, you know, by giving me a mindset of giving. So even as a single person, as I relate to different people, I learn how to give without having any strings attached, and that helps me to be happier, right? Not saying that no struggles, nothing, but that really helps a lot. And today, even as we celebrate the baptism of our 8 candidates, it's a good time to remind ourselves not just to give to people, but to give our lives to Jesus, right? To give our hearts to Him, not just in saying only, but giving really that devotion to Him. But in order to do that, you got to first of all acknowledge that first of all, Jesus has given His heart to us.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.